Thank you, and you may be seated. We have a video we'd like to share with you this morning, and just to let you know, we'll just kind of get us ready for the message, and I hope it'll be a help to you. So, all right, let's have the video.
Give to God by enjoying what He has given me. Okay? I mean, do you really think He expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, just to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope. All right? You see, when the plate gets passed, I bloop, put it in there like that. The deacon's counting the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, clueless. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows.
God knows.
Huh?
Let me ask you a question, huh? How's your mutual fund? Hey, for that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds, huh? Has your do-re-mi taken a W-A-L-K, huh? What if I told you that I knew about an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's promised. It's guaranteed. I know what you're saying. There's no guarantees. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10. That's what it says in the Old Testament. It says, test me, give to God, and He will give you back. It goes like this. I give this, He gives this. I give this, He gives this. I give this. Up right up there. He keeps giving. I can't outgive God. How crazy is that? Do I love Him? Sure, whatever. I'm just saying, if you give, He gives back.
I tithe. But just not like in the form of a 10% check, per se. Let me tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts. I buy some. Boom. That's a tithe. When my whole Sunday school class wants donuts, and I, out of the goodness of my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class, boom. That's another tithe. But it's not about me spending money. It's about the smile on people's faces. That, my friends, is tithe enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights where we could take our spouse out for an evening, and they were charging $25 for child care. Boom shakalaka tithe. I'll tell you what the biggest tithe was. When I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear, that, my friend's a tithe.
I would like to give. I would, okay? But everything right now is just crazy. I mean, just crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I need and want, then I would consider giving something, but not now is crazy. We're going to give later. We've already talked about it. I mean, down the road, we'll be crazy givers, but right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I have money, that's a fact. But you know what? It's a heart thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because He needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'd give a little bit more. I'd give a little something if you'd have that music minister sing a couple more hymns now and then, huh? Hey, watch this. Watch this. Is that a Benjamin? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on. You want it? Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified in me. I put money in the plate. Wait. Look what I have here. I hope it doesn't interfere. But that everyone can hear how I give with cheer. That everyone could be like me.
Jazz hands.
Thought you might enjoy that, because that's kind of how people understand or think about giving. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12, because what I want to do is I want you to look at He who gave everything. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Again, thank you so much for coming. It's a delight to have each of you here on this beautiful Lord's Day. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One more place, 2 Corinthians in your Bibles, chapter 9, just a few books back, 2 Corinthians 9. Two passages this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll actually start with verse number 6 in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6, and we'll read down through verse number 11. The Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for everything you gave. And Lord, I pray today that you would teach us, Lord, more about you. And every one of us in here would please consider him. Lord, I pray you would guide now in the moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
In God's heart, there's a place that I was made to fill. I find amazing grace when I'm found within his will, and he's reserved a sacred place where we can spend the day, and he's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay.
Every day I'm amazed that God would spend
Growing up in a home with my sister, I learned many valuable lessons. The hardest lesson I had to learn was the lesson of sharing. I did not like to share. I had to share food with my sister. I had to share the television set of all things with my sister. I had to share my toys with my sister. I had to share my life with my sister. And then my brother came along, 9 years younger than I was. I had to share everything with him. But you know, when I met the person that I love, who I was going to spend the rest of my life with, at that point, my immaturity in sharing had given way to my love for my wife. I had no more problem, because now it was easy to share. She was now the joy of my life. I mean, it wasn't the fact that I didn't love my sister, my brother, but this is my wife. I love her. And sharing my life with her, sharing my resources with her, sharing everything with her, took on a brand new meaning. Something my parents have been trying to teach me for many years. I finally understood it. At that point, it turned on like a light. It was now that which I got. My mom always taught me to be considerate. That was the one thing. I remember my mom said, now look, you always have to be considerate. And I never could understand that until I read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Can I get you to go back and look at it with me, please, very quickly? Look at verse number 3. Notice two words that are in the verse 3. Because these two words says it all. Here's what it says. Consider him. Consider him. I wanted to understand, what do you mean by consider? The idea is you study him. You look at his life with great analytical viewpoint. I mean, you look into his life and you understand and you try to grasp what it means, the completeness, the thoroughness of who Jesus is. And I'll be honest with you, I'm convinced today that most of us don't do that. Most of us, we are more wrapped up in this world and we know very little about the next world. Most of us are so wrapped up in the newspaper and the job and the school and the hobbies and the recreation, and we run 20 different directions. Very few of us consider him. Because if we considered him, what a different lifestyle every one of us would have. There's no doubt about it that God is very clear that he wants us to consider him. When we talk about life, we need to think about and consider Christ. Those in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, they were suffering Christians. They'd suffered a great deal, and they had suffered loss, and some had even suffered death, and they'd seen their family members destroyed. And what the writer of Hebrews was addressing was the fact that while you may look at your circumstances around you and you may look at all of the difficulties and the things you're going through, he wants them to look to the fact that look at what Christ did for you. Think about what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Today I want you to think about all that he gave you. I was telling my class this morning, I said, you know, one day I decided that I was going to do this. This is before the day we have all the fancy computer stuff and the computer programs and how you can read all this stuff and do things. This is back when you just had a Bible and a sheet of paper. I know that's antiquated. But I remember that I decided one day that I was going to open up my Bible and I was going to start writing down all of the places where God gave. I was going to write down everything. Not necessarily where the word says God gave, but just I was going to write everything down. And so I opened up with Genesis 1, and I started reading through Genesis 1, and it was on the front page of just a regular, normal 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I wrote down page front side, flipped it over, did the back side, grabbed the second page, did the front side, flipped it over, did the back side. You know, and this is just in my Bible reading as I'm going through that year. And for the first 6 months or so, I thought I would go along. And then by the time I got through Genesis, I had had 5 pages front and back. And that was just Genesis. Now all of a sudden, I got it. Look, folks, God just didn't give you just your life. There's nothing you have God didn't give you.
That's right.
There's nothing. I mean, he is all about giving. Everything about him. And so this morning as we consider him, I just want you to think with me very carefully about him and what he did for you. I want you to really reflect on and think with thoroughness and consider what Christ did. William Carey did. William Carey, he became the great missionary to India. He thought about these words of the hymn. The hymn writer wrote and said, "And must I part with all I have, my dearest Lord, for thee? It is but right, since thou hast done much more than this for me." Yes, let it go. One look from thee will more than make amends for all the losses I sustain of honor, riches, and friends. I think William Carey said it all. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in this life that is better than Jesus Christ. Nothing. And so I want you to consider with me this morning and think with me as we look into these passages of Scripture of the blessings that God has given to us. Look at what Jesus did. I want to call your attention to three things. Number one, notice he perfected the pathway of faith for me. If you go to Hebrews 12 again, and we're looking at that passage just briefly, you go back to Hebrews, you're going to find that his ministry was completed for you and for me. The Bible said that he was the author and finisher of our faith. This means that Jesus Christ originated the need for man's salvation. He took care of it. You see, the truth of the matter is we're all born sinners in this world. There's not one person perfect. Now, I have met a few that thought they were. Maybe you met some of them too, huh? You know, the people that think that, you know, they never do wrong, they always do right, and there's no way they would ever do wrong, you know, after all. I mean, they're good people, they really have good intentions. But I want to remind you of this, it's not the fact that how good someone might be in light of somebody else. You know, we kind of have this idea, we love to have this idea that there's sort of the penitentiary crowd, and then there's us. You know, and we're not as bad as them. After all, we're not in the penitentiary, and we didn't do any of the things that those guys did, and after all, we're not that bad. I mean, oh yeah, we might lie a couple of times and maybe break a speed limit every now and then, and you know, maybe we might do a few things, but never would. No, the truth of the matter is, it's not, when God says we're sinners, it's not in comparison to someone else. It's always we've fallen short of the glory of God. We're imperfect before a holy God. You and I, we're just imperfect people. And God said, because we're imperfect and a man can't go to heaven in his imperfection, you can only go to heaven in perfection. The only way we can get it is we have to get it through someone else since we don't have it. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. He was perfect. And the Bible said that he came to this earth 2,000 years ago and he dwelt among men. He was crucified on a cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And because he did that every one of us can be perfect through Jesus Christ. That when you think about this, what God is simply saying is this. There is nothing that Jesus Christ needed to do for us. He finished it all. It's all taken care of. And sometimes I've had people say this, well, you know, Pastor, I got to keep doing good if I'm going to get to heaven. No, that's because you're leaning on yourself. And the Bible says we can't lean on ourselves. The only way that I can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's it. He's my passageway because he's my Savior. So his ministry was completed when he did what he did on the cross. But second of all, our motives need to be consecrated. And what that means is this, when I consider all that he did for me, how could I not be motivated to do something for him? I mean, if Jesus Christ, listen,
If Jesus Christ died for me, I should be willing to live for Him. I mean, He died on the cross and He was buried, and thank God He rose again, and He did that because He loves us. And if He was willing to do that and took all of my punishment, I should be willing to do whatever He wants me to do. Consider all the suffering and all the rejection. The Bible says it like this: He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took it all on Him. There's not one thing that Jesus did not willingly take for you and for me by dying on the cross. And so I consider the very first blessing of the goodness of God and what God gives to me is the pathway of faith. He gave it to me so that I can be saved, so that I can go to heaven. Look, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you've never put your faith in Christ, oh, I'm not asking if you're a church member, because church membership won't take you to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist or Episcopalian or Catholic or Mormon or any of the rest. You go to heaven not because of those. You go to heaven because you have received the personal gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. That's what He did for us. And the Bible said that He perfected. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So I consider that a great blessing to me. It's the greatest blessing that I've ever had in my life, is the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But then second of all, I want you to consider this. He provided the provisions of life for me. Everything I need in life has been provided for. He gave it all for me. He provided everything I need. You know, I came into this world about as poor as you're going to get. Think about that. I talked about that last week. I touched on that last week. You realize I came here, I have any clothes on, didn't have any food. I came hungry too. I guarantee you I came hungry, because I'm still haven't gotten over that yet. Amen. You guys ever feel that way? You're like, you're always hungry, you know? It's like you eat and I'm still hungry, you know? But the truth of the matter is, I was as poor as I could be. I didn't even know if I would make it the next day. I had no way of knowing that. Look, here's what God says. You came here with nothing, and you're going to leave with nothing, because you leave it all behind. But God goes on to say that He provided everything that you and I need for life. Every provision for life is provided for. He gives it to you. You say, oh, no, that's not true, Pastor. Man, I get up in the morning and go out. Who gave you the body to get up? Who gave you the mind to get up? And by the way, God could change that real quick if He chooses to. My wife was really encouraging to me this week. She said, I just want to let you know. She said, I looked out and I saw this old man driving into my driveway, into my garage. And I said, really? Or what? She said, it was you. She said, you got gray hair now. And I said, thank God for what I got. Amen? Because it's getting scarcer by the day. But I was thinking, man, He provided everything for me. Everything. And God says to you and I, He's provided everything that you will ever need in life. There's nothing you will go without. And so when I consider that, and by the way, now listen, here's what we hear. We are out here, oh, it's going to get so bad. I mean, it's awful. It's terrible. They factor God out of it. It's kind of funny because, you know, knowing, I know our city and knowing our city leaders and talk to them often. And I was talking to some of the city leaders the other day, and I told them, I said, I'm praying for the city, you know, that we can actually, you know, get things back in track. And I was talking to our mayor and city manager. And I said, yeah, I'll be praying for that, you know. And they said, yeah, please pray for us, you know, really pray. And they're talking about how they're going to cut out this and cut out this. And I said, well, you know, and then I said, here's the thing. I said, you know what the real problem with the city is? They said, what's that? I said, you don't have God. You see, the truth of the matter is, you know what our problem in America is? We don't have God. Because, hey, look, if God provides everything, don't you agree with me? If God provides everything, it's really good to have God on your side. And they said, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. See, that's the best thing. You know what? We need God more than we need money. We need God more than we need anything else, and God's reminding me of that. And so what I do is I understand then if God is that big and God's that powerful that He's provided everything for me, it gives me great confidence in that. We are told that we're to give because God gave to us. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I read it for you. He speaks of giving. We're told to give for two reasons, and we're to give generously and graciously. Because the principle is found in verse number 7, and it says this, a principle that as we give, and the more we give, the Bible says, as we enjoy the giving, as we lose something in our giving, we reap something through the giving. That's what he says. The more bountiful the harvest. And it's not the fact that if I'm going to give something, that I'm trying to get something out of it. See, when I give it and God takes care of it. That's the best investment I know. That's a great investment. And God teaches me that it's important to do that. And then God teaches me also in my giving that I should be a cheerful giver. That I, when I give, I'm like, man, glory to God, hallelujah, man, I get to give. Because I'm excited about it. I just want to do something. You know why? Because here's the truth. Hey, I got good news for you. He's not asking you to give anything that's not His anyway. He's not asking you to give anything that He hasn't provided for you. He's never asked me to give anything that He's not given to me first. Ever. That's so important. So what does He provide for me? Well, I really love this passage in Proverbs. Let me read it for you. Here's what it says. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that waters shall be watered to also himself, but he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He says, you know, if a farmer goes out and he plants seed in his ground, he's going to plant a lot of seed in the ground so that he can get a lot more in the way of his harvest. So if he just puts one in, he may not get a real good harvest. That's the idea. Now, by the way, just to let you know, I want to be clear on something here. That you know, I don't preach on, and some of you who visited last week and you maybe come back this week, thank God for you coming back. No, I don't preach on money every week. But I do believe that I ought to preach on it. I ought to preach on giving. Just like my mother preached to me every day. You share with your sister. You share with your brother. You know what God says? We need to learn to give because God is glorified when we give. And by the way, you benefit. You benefit. Because here's what God is saying. If we understand that He provides the provisions of life, then that means He provides my daily needs. I don't have to worry about it. You say, what are my needs? Well, there's a lot of things I need. There's a lot of things I want. I don't need everything, but a lot of things I need. And God's going to take care of every one of those things. Regardless of how desperate our situations are, a person who wants to give in dependence on God, God will provide that need. Now, in just a couple weeks here, we're going to be having our For Him Giving Banquet. Out in the lobby, you might have seen as you came in, we kind of have laid out, we have a fundraiser once a year, a fundraiser banquet. We want everybody to come. And I'll be waiting. I would go over there and get my ticket, signed up and come and be a part of that. See what God's going to do. And let me say this. Nothing that we do at that banquet is anything guilt-driven. That should be Holy Spirit-led. I don't want in any way to ever guilt anyone to giving anything, because that's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I want to be a spiritual banquet, not a financial banquet. But by the way, I think people should come and be a part and see what God's going to do. And as we go, and we just want to see what God does, and God lays on our hearts, and God, if He's going to provide our daily needs, and we might be kind of reticent and say, well, you know, man, I don't know, you know, if I give something, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't know if I'm going to get through all this, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, do what God wants to. How can I do all that, Pastor? Where's the assurance that things are going to go well? Well, look at verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians 12. Can I get you to look there with me? Look, please, very carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, God answers that question. I'm sorry, chapter 9 and verse number 8, God answers the question. Here's what God says. And because right now, some of us, we've all had salary cuts, pretty much all of us have in the room here. Our companies and churches and organizations and all that, they're losing money, and so they're cutting back, and we understand that. But look at verse number 8, what God says. And God is able. Now, man, right there alone, we could preach just a message on God's able, because God is able, isn't He? But look at verse, look what He says. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all, what's that next word there? Sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know what God says? I'm going to make sure you have all your needs met. I'm going to make sure that it's sufficient. You need to take care of your mortgage. You need to take care of your car. You need to take care of those things. I'm going to make sure you have that. That's what He says. Because God's that kind of God. Paul writes and said, what if we have hardships? Or Paul writes these words to people who may say, what if I have hardships? What if I give and something happens? God says, I'm going to take care of it. God says, I'm going to take care of it. He provides not only what I need for my daily personal needs, but He provides practically what I need to give. You know, as I give, I want to give something to God. You know, something funny. You know, Disney. You guys like Disneyland? That's one rich mouse, isn't it? You know, it's a funny thing about Disney. You remember this thing about Disney? $5 is real small Disneyland, isn't it? You agree with me? I don't even know you get in for $5. They probably charge $5 a breath at Disneyland. But it's an amazing thing how many people go to Disney. And Disney, you know, $5 doesn't go very far. Or let's put it into another perspective and make it more personal. How about your favorite hobbies? Preacher, you're preaching now. You better hush up. How about your favorite hobbies? Doesn't go very far, does it? $5 doesn't go very far, because we know that things cost money. And in fact, did you happen to read the paper this morning? I felt really good, man. I was really excited. I got up. I was going to pull out the paper and read it. I thought, you know, I checked the obituary, and my name wasn't in there, so I felt really good about that. And I saw the front page of the paper. It said gas going to be $4.25 a gallon by what, June, I think it said, or something like that. Ooh. That would barely buy a gallon of gas. But you know, it's a funny thing. When you go to church, $5 is really big. To put it in the offering plate, that's huge. $5? It's so amazing how it is, isn't it? It's just the way we are. But you see, if we're spiritual people and we walk with God, we understand that God is the provider of all things. And God gives me whatever I need to give back to Him. God would never ask me to give what I cannot give. He would never ask me to do that. Why would he do that? He's the one who provided everything I had anyway. There's no doubt about that God wants me to give. Noah. If you remember Noah, the guy, young guy? Built an ark, spent 120 years building the ark. They all loaded up, they got on the ark, and they took all the animals on there. Man, I don't know about his wife, but she must have been a very patient lady. A lot of feeding of those animals. There were a few I wish he would have left off, like mosquitoes. Why didn't he leave those off? Fleas, flies. But he got them all in the ark, and when he got off, the Bible said that he was to give a sacrifice. Guess who brought the animals to the ark? God did. You think he went out there and got all those animals? No, God brought those animals. He just made room for them, got them all set up. And then you know what God says? I want you to take what I brought you and gave to you. I want you to set up an offering. That's indeed what he did. He gave an offering. And God blessed him in his offering. That's what we're talking about. You see, God says to us, giving is not much when you consider him. When you consider him, it's not much. You mean to tell me I give 10%, I write a check for 10% of my income, and I drop it in the offering plate? God died for me, and that would bother me? Consider him. Have you examined his life? Have you examined what he did? Have you looked at how much he gave? You said, but you know, I won't be able to go to the Sacramento Kings next week. Who cares? What's more important? I'm going to tell you, him. Look, we're preaching today now. It's for him. It's all about him. Life is not all about what I can get to make me happy, to satisfy me, to feed my hobbies and feed my habits and make me more. It's all about him. You see, I'm to manage what God gives to me. Man, the best investment I can make is in eternal dividends. What God says. You see, when we consider him, we consider, number one, the pathway. The perfected pathway he's provided for God's people for salvation. Good night, if it wasn't for Christ, where would we be? Then second of all, not only that, but he, not only did he provide the perfect pathway, but he provides my daily needs every day for the provisions of life. The air that I breathe, the clothes that I wear, the ability to be able to go to work and provide for my family, the ability to think and work and lift my hands and use my hands. Thank God for that. He provides that for me. But then there's one more thing I want you to consider, if we're considering him, as he presented the pattern, the perfect pattern of giving. Can I get you to go to 2 Corinthians 8, please? One more place. You know, I think this is the quietest the church has been since a year ago. Second Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. Look what it says. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Poor, that ye through his poverty might be what?" Oh, you know what he said? Think about what he said. Jesus Christ, who was in the splendors of heaven in glory, the angels were singing praises unto him. The Bible said he was willing to give all that up, to come to this earth, to die for us. He became a poor, lowly servant. He gave everything. I mean, gave it all up, that we might be made rich. Wow. We're rich. Hey, I'm a child of the King. I mean, he's my Savior. I'm the child of the King. Thank God for that. Oh, and what God is saying is that He gave by grace. The one who supplies what is needed is God alone. It is God who provides. It is God who enlarges the harvest. It is God who gives me the breath that I breathe and the body that I can work and the mind that I can use and the food that I need, the shelter that I need. He gave up all of those riches in heaven so that I could be rich in Him. What the Bible says, He gave it by grace. Not we deserve it, but He gave it in His grace. But then He gave by sacrifice. You know, occasionally God asks us to sacrifice, but I don't believe any of us know much about sacrifice. The Bible said that Jesus Christ sacrificed His life for us. It says, "For it made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him." Do you realize how much in this sacrifice that He gave His entire life? That's an amazing thought for me. God did that so you and I can be rich in Him. Now, don't think of it from a financial standpoint. You think of it from spiritual riches. Because let me tell you something. You know these little trinkets that I have on this planet? Let me put it into perspective for you. These little trinkets I have, cars, houses, bank accounts, guess what they're going to be? They're going to be left behind. When I die, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to enter into a place of glory and splendor. Hey, I got a mansion up there. The other day, I did a funeral for a guy yesterday, and he was a big golfer. He loved golf. And his favorite player was Tiger Woods. A couple years ago, someone gave me an email and showed me Tiger Woods' house. Has anyone ever seen Tiger Woods' house? It's a pretty amazing place. And when I looked at the house, I was thinking, man alive. I mean, you know, just one room in his house looked as big as my entire house. It was big. Multiple pools and all these things, everything gold and, you know, the whole thing. And I said in this funeral yesterday, I was thinking about this, I said, you know what's an amazing thing? As much of a mansion that might appear to be in this side of heaven, when you get to heaven, the mansion up there will top that 10-1. Let me tell you why. Because God knows exactly what you need. And He provides it by His grace. And when we give unto Him, all we're doing is we're just saying, Lord, I'm sharing what You gave me because I love You. That's what it means to consider Him. Have you considered Him? Are you considering Him today? You know, what we consider more about is my retirement, my savings account. I'm sorry, I know a few of you don't know what that is, but you understand where I'm coming from. What I'm saying is this: we need to consider Christ. Him. We need Him more than we need anything else, because He it is with whom we have to do, the Bible says. How about you today? Will you consider Him? Will you think on all that He did for you? Will you really focus just for a few minutes on Jesus and how He died for you? Because the blessings that He's provided are so clear. He's provided the pathway of faith. He's provided the provisions of daily living, and He's provided for us a perfect pattern of giving. He gave it all. Isaac Watts said it best when he said this: "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." What should I do? Well, if I'm here today without Christ, I want to urge you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. If I'm here today and I'm not giving anything to God, I would make a commitment before God, not before me, not before some man, before God. God, I want to give you my tithe every week. Lord, I want to give you my time. Lord, my time is your time. In fact, my time is your time because I don't know how long I'll be here. I would give my offering unto the Lord for Him banquet coming up. Lord, what is it you want me to give to help further the cause of Christ for Calvary Baptist Church? Lord, what do you want me to do? God says, if I consider Him, He'll show me. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes